Thank you. So I'm very happy to be here, and also thanks to the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present the talk. So today I'm going to discuss Hodden phase in quantum spin chains and how we can understand it as a so-called symmetry protected topological phase, and how quantum entanglement plays a role. So my talk is largely based on a collaboration which appeared in these papers with these people, Frank Bowman, now at Academia Sinica, but he's going to Dresden soon in minor something, and Eric Bach, whom I have not yet met. And I just mixed. But Ari, I did meet in my last visit here in October. As Vincent told you, I my background is in quantum spin system. And also, this collaboration started because they were working on entanglement, and I was working on spin chain, and we were doing very similar things, and of course different. And last year, I met Frank in Dresden, and we started talking, and eventually it became a collaboration. So in this talk, I will talk actually less about entanglement, and I motivate you to this subject by introducing several hand-waving arguments. And at the end, I will tell you how entanglement can play a role. So if you are interested in entanglement business, we can talk later in private. Okay, so motivation came from this famous Hodden conjecture that is about, probably most of you know very well, but anyway, let me introduce. So he considered the standard model of 1D quantum magnetism, that is Heisenberg anti-ferromagnetic chain. And Hamiltonian is simply given by this. And for spin 1/2, this can be solved by Bethe-Ansatz technique exactly. And that was many, many years ago, around 1930. But he made around in 83, very bold conjecture at that time. That is, the property of this simple Hamiltonian is very much different between half integer spin and integer spin. And he said that for half odd integer spins, the system is massless in field theory terminology. That is, the excitation spectrum has no gap. There is gapless continuum of excitation just above the ground state. And also, if you measure spin-spin correlation function, it decays according to the power law. On the other hand, for integer spins, he said the system is basically massive. That means you have a non-zero gap above the ground state, and the spin-spin correlation function decays exponentially. So when he presented this conjecture in 83. At that time, I was still in high school, so I don't know by first-hand experience, but I hear that people did not believe, most people did not believe. But eventually, this conjecture was confirmed in various ways. And one support came from this now famous AKLT model, that is for, let's consider spin one case. And this is a standard Heisenberg part. And you add this biquadratic term with coefficient 1/3. Then this model is exactly solvable in the sense that the ground state wave function can be written exactly like this. And this picture means that this circle, the dot, represents spin 1/2. And first you form a singlet between these two spins and these two spins and these two spins. So then it represents some dimerized state of spin 1/2. Then after that, you apply symmetrization of wave function between these two, and these two. So this big circle represents symmetrization or projection to symmetric sector. Then basically you project onto triplet sector. So each circle represents some wavefunction of spin 1. So after all, this represents a legitimate wave function of spin 1 chain. Then for this model and for this wave function, they could show that the spin-spin correlation function actually decays exponentially, and also there is a non-zero gap above the ground state. So this basically provides a concrete example of basically what Hoden predicted for Heisenberg chain. Although the model is slightly different, but you can expect that two models behave in similar way. And later, by numerical calculations, people confirm that there is no phase transition between Heisenberg point and this AKLT model, and so on. So if you look at this AKLT state wave function, then it looks like just a disordered state. For example, if you measure a correlation function of spin-spin correlation function, as I said, it decays just exponentially. So it looks disordered. And in fact, we can show that the correlation function of any local operator decays exponentially. And also, the ground state of the AKLT Hamiltonian is unique. That can be also proved. That means that no symmetry is broken spontaneously. And also, there is no local order parameter. So that pretty much suggests that there is no order of any kind in this model, this state. But actually, the physics is not so simple in this Hoden gap state, because there is something in Hoden state, actually, in, let's say, in spin-1 AKLT state. That can be seen by introducing a modification of Hamiltonian. For example, you can add this anisotropy term, SD square term. And actually, in realistic spin chains, this anisotropy often exists. And we can study phase diagram for this parameter D. And one simple limit is this D goes to infinity limit. And if you take D goes to infinity, then basically SZ equals to plus minus one state is suppressed, penalized. So basically, in this limit, all sides are projected onto SZ equals to zero state. So the ground state in this limit is simple product of 0, 0, 0, 0. So this is just trivial. And so this is massive state, disordered state. And as I said, Hoden gap state at Heisenberg point, D equals zero, let's say, has a gap, and also spin-spin correlation function decays exponentially. So both states look very much the same qualitatively. But if you vary D from zero to infinity, then actually you find that the gap vanishes at certain point, DC. Actually, it's around one point something. But anyway, so there is a quantum phase transition separating this Hoden phase and this trivial phase. So that means that this Hoden gap state belongs to a distinct phase, not this trivial state. So there must be something which distinguish this phase. So this is actually a distinct phase. So there must be something in it. And we often say that this phase has topological order, or this phase is topological phase. But of course, at that point, I didn't explain what makes the difference. And this problem actually was studied in late 80s to early 90s when I started doing physics. And one thing people noted at that time, actually in 1990, first by, I think, Tom Kennedy, was that this Hoden state has a kind of edge state. That is, if you cut the chain and have open boundary, then new degree of freedom appears at the edge. And that is easy to understand using, again, using this AKLT picture. So you prepare AKLT model, Hamiltonian, and cut the chain and have open boundary. Then what happens is that so each site is constructed out of two spin one halves, and this guy is paired with this guy. They are forming singlet. But because now I have an open boundary here, this spin one half is not paired with anybody. So this spin one half remains free. So that means that by cutting spin one chain, you find a basically free spin one half degree of freedom at the end. So this is called, sometimes called edge state. And for finite chain, very long chain, you have two ends. And each end brings double degeneracy. So in total, for open chain, there is a fourfold degeneracy of ground state. So this may be regarded as a distinct feature of Hoden state and also of Hoden phase. And another characteristic discussed in late 80s is so-called string order. So again, this can be understood using AKLT picture. So if you represent AKLT state in SZ basis, then in SZ basis, AKLT state is actually a superposition of many, many states. So it's non-trivial state. But let's take one snapshot, let's say. And suppose this side has S equals to plus one. Then in order to have S equals to plus one, both spin one halves must point up because S of this side is sum of this. Then this must be up, up. Then the point is that because this is singlet, so this is up, down, minus up, down. So if this spin one half is pointing up, then this must point down. Then let's say if this spin one half is pointing up, then SZ of this side is zero. Then because this is up, this must be down. So even if this is up, this is again zero, and so on and so on. So the point is that you cannot have SZ equals to plus one here or here, because this spin must be down and this spin must be down. So what you can do is that, let's say at this side, you have spin down spin here, and if this spin is also down, then SZ of this side is minus one. Then after that, you can have plus one, SZ equals to plus one, because this is down, so this is up. If you choose this to be up, then this is plus one. So that means that in AKLT state, if you represent the state in SZ basis, this plus one and minus one must alternate. And you can have any number of zeros in between. But if you remove zero, let's say, plus and minus should alternate. So this is kind of order, very strange order. So sometimes this is called hidden Nail order or something. But this is not usual Nail order, of course. And this is cannot be detected by any local correlation function. And in order to detect this kind of correlation, you need this kind of non-local correlation function, which is called string order parameter. And this was already discussed in 89. And so I introduced two features, edge state and the string order, which look very different. But actually, they can be understood in unified way as a consequence of spontaneous breaking of hidden symmetry. The advantage of there are several advantages in this concept. One is that, as I said, the AKLT state has some strange order, hidden order, and it can be detected by string order parameter. But the string order parameter is by construction non-local. So if you have non-zero non-local order parameter, it may distinguish phase, but it may not, because if you have some non-local correlation function, you know, it can mean anything. It may detect distinct phase, or it may not, because if you have long-range order in local operators, then we can be sure that it distinguishes some phase. But if you have zero non-local correlation function here and non-zero value of non-local order parameter here, then I cannot be really sure if it's really distinguish different phases. But with this, we can really be sure that this string order parameter does distinguish different phases. So the argument is as follows, first given by Kennedy and Sasaki in 1992. So we start from some Hamiltonian. It can be a KVT Hamiltonian or Heisenberg chain. But then they introduce some non-local unitary transformation, which can be written like this. This is non-local because J and K runs each every site for which J is smaller than K. So this J and K can be very far apart. So this is highly non-local transformation. And if you do this transformation, then Hamiltonian is transformed as UHU inverse, which turns out to be like this. So this looks very strange, and it is. But the point is that although this transformation is non-local, the resulting Hamiltonian is still local in the sense that it only involves nearest neighbor interaction. So this is pretty similar to Jordan-Wigner transformation, for which you must be familiar with. So if you transform spin operator like SX, SY, Z, then you get string. But because Hamiltonian consists of SX, SX, and so on, the string part cancels mostly there, and you get something like this. And this Hamiltonian has no longer global SU2 symmetry because of these strange factors. But this Hamiltonian is still invariant and global rotation, pi rotation about X and X, Y, and Z axis. And that is a global discrete symmetry, which is often called dihedral group, D2. But it's actually isomorphic to Z2 cross Z2. So it looks like Z2 cross Z2 cross Z2, but the pi rotation about Z axis can be written as a product of pi rotation about X axis and Y axis. So it's actually Z2 cross Z2. So this Hamiltonian has hidden symmetry, which can be only revealed by non-local transformation. Then suppose this hidden global symmetry is broken spontaneously. So now the symmetry is discrete, so you can break spontaneously. Then what happens is that because the symmetry is Z2 cross Z2, the ground state must be fourfold degenerate. Then because the original Hamiltonian is unitarily equivalent to the transformed Hamiltonian, the original Hamiltonian should also have a fourfold ground state degeneracy. Then it looks contradictory because we knew that the AKVT Hamiltonian, the original Hamiltonian, has a unique ground state. But the point is that this transformation only works for open boundary condition. If you have periodic boundary condition, you have something at the boundary. So this argument is valid for open boundary condition. So actually, this means that if the hidden symmetry is broken spontaneously, then the original Hamiltonian has fourfold degenerate ground state for open boundary condition. That actually implies the existence of H.
Did you say that there was some kind of exponential energy gap in one of the previous slides?
So degeneracy is valid in large L limit. So of course, if you consider finite chain, then the ground state, these nearly degenerate ground state are split by exponential of minus L over xi or something. That's usual finite size spectrum in broken symmetry phase. Okay. So another consequence of this hidden symmetry breaking is that actually this transformation maps the string order to just a spin-spin correlation function. So that means that if this hidden symmetry is broken spontaneously, then this spin-spin correlation is long-range ordered in, that is, there is a ferromagnetic order in transformed system. And if you transform back to the original system, then the original system must have string order. So this also explains the existence of string order. And to the question I posed just minutes ago, the meaning of string order. So in generally speaking, I think if you are given some non-local correlation function, then I cannot be sure if this really works as a order parameter or not. But given this, if you find non-zero value of this string correlation function, then this implies a local order, ferromagnetic order after transformation. So then I can be sure that this must distinguish different phases.
Yeah. Could have asked a little bit, because you have a HT of the nature kind of related by a
unitary, yes. Yes.
U,
yeah.
Does not commute with like SZ. Basically, kind of a combination with SZ and SX, right? So it breaks the original SU. So the point is, suppose you find the eigenstates for H. But if you want to find the ground state, suppose you find the ground state for H, but the ground state of H tier will be related by this very transformation. Does that mean, so if you start with ground state, you'll get a superposition of many states, right? So the ground state is not the ground state, it will be new from the
two. Well, the spectrum must be the same. So the ground state of this guy must be ground state of original Hamiltonian.
Suppose I know the ground state of H, then now I can get the ground state for H tilde by the inverse transformation.
Okay,
right? But since this is very non-trivial, I'm gonna just transform by this any given ground state to a superposition of many. How could I see that?
You have ground state, and this transformation is highly non-local, but it maps the ground state to certain ground state. So the wave function looks very different. But.
So I can think it's this mapping between, say, one state in the basis of H. You can map to an array. It's like the Hilbert space dimension is the same, but it's not so.
Well, you can mix the four states, but you can't.
Yeah, you can mix something. Probably gonna go beyond the four states, right?
No. Because spectrum is the same.
Yeah, it's spectrum is the same, but the states would be.
No, but you can mix the four eigenstates in the same way.
Sorry, U is only unitary in infinite volume limit.
Pardon me, so this is
U is unitary when L goes to infinity.
Well, so that's a good point. So for really infinite system, it's maybe not really unitary. I'm not really expert on this, but what I can say is that if you choose some finite length L, which may be very big, like 10,000 or 1 million or whatever, then it is unitary.
But if it's unitary, then the state should be strictly degenerate.
Yeah.
You said that's not strictly degenerate.
No. Well, that's related to spontaneous breaking of symmetry. So if you study a very big but finite system, then actually even in the broken symmetry phase, the ground states are not exactly degenerate. So if you study large system, then in the broken symmetry phase, there is a tunneling between degenerate ground states. So there is a small splitting.
So the ground state is symmetric.
Yeah, true ground state in finite size is symmetric. But
you don't have the symmetry, no? If you would have the symmetry, there would be no gap, even exponentially small.
Pardon me?
If you would have an exact symmetry, then there wouldn't be not even this exponentially small.
No.
It's the ground the states.
Well, we can go back to even simpler system of transversalizing model, for example. Then in the broken symmetry phase, there is up ground state, which is degenerate with down. But if you study finite size chain, then there is a finite tunneling amplitude between up ground state and down ground state. So if you study finite size system, then ground state in the finite size system is actually the linear combination of up and down. Let's say up plus down times 1 over square root 2. And then
you call the ground states metastable.
Yes, well.
They're exactly on stage for SKLT.
Then there is a stable ground state.
For SKLT, that's exactly ground state.
But not for H.
And so in finite size system, there is a ground state up up plus down down. Then there is first excited state up 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 minus down down down. And splitting is given by the tunneling from up up state to down down state. So the splitting is exponentially small. So if you extrapolate, then you find the doubly degenerate ground state separated by a gap from other states. That's pretty standard business in any conventional system. If you study finite size system, then ground state is usually unique in finite size system.
Okay. Sorry,
Total spin.
What
is
the dimension that
this is broken? Total spin does not commute because each SZ, let's say, is transformed to highly non-local object with string. Why total spin must be conserved? Do you think? Well, my point is that global is the SU2 symmetry of Heisenberg chain is not essential for this Howden phase. That's a message. So SU2 can be broken. You can break SU2, but the Howden phase is still there.
I will later come to
exact condition what you need for this argument to work. Yeah. But the global SU2 is not essential. Of course, the initial conjecture by Howden he discussed SU2 symmetric Heisenberg chain. And the AKLT Hamiltonian is also SU2 invariant. But you can break SU2 and still Howden phase is well-defined. I will later come to that point. So SU2 is not important, actually, in this problem. Okay, so I just reviewed some very old stuff almost 20 years ago. Some of your questions are related to this question. So this non-local transformation business is very nice, but exactly when this works, that's the question somehow I think was not discussed at that time. And in fact, as you pointed out, this transformation is non-local. So if you start from very generic Hamiltonian without any symmetry, then after transformation you get some very non-local Hamiltonian. Then this argument doesn't work. So we need some symmetry for this non-local transformation blah 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 argument to work. And so this has not been addressed before, as far as I know. So recently we came back to this question somehow, and our answer is that. So this transformation is self-dual. So U and U inverse has the same form. So that means U square is basically one. So that means that if transform Hamiltonian H tilde is local, then if you transform back, then the original Hamiltonian must have the same global symmetry, that is dihedral group symmetry, rotation about pi rotation about x, y, and z axis. So that is actually the condition. So if you don't have this Z2 cross Z2 global symmetry in the original Hamiltonian, then if you do the transformation, then the transform Hamiltonian has non-local interaction, then this argument doesn't work. So in recent terminology, that means that this spin one Howden phase is a kind of topological phase which can be protected by global dihedral group symmetry, pi rotation about x, y, and z axis. So you need certain symmetry for this that argument to work.
Why does a non-local Hamiltonian necessarily wreck the argument?
Well, okay, so if we have local Hamiltonian with local interaction, and if Hamiltonian has certain certain symmetry, then I can be sure that the state which breaks the symmetry spontaneously and unbroken symmetry phase must be different. There must be phase transition. That's I don't know how general it is, but if you have non-local interaction, then in principle anything can happen. So I cannot be sure if broken symmetry phase and unbroken symmetry phase are really distinct if you have non-local interaction.
But in general, even if you break this usual symmetry, how
that plays? Yeah, that's how you can make that. Completely agreed. And I will come to that point. So I just explained one of the symmetries which protects the Hodden phase. So yeah, that's
necessary condition, not sufficient.
No. So this is kind of sufficient condition to protect. So if you have this D2 symmetry, then this can somehow protect Hodden phase. But the other symmetries can also protect Hodden phase. That's
What is the argument that this is sufficient?
If you have this symmetry, then this hidden symmetry is well defined. So if you start with Hamiltonian with global D, if you start with Hamiltonian which is local and which has a global D2 symmetry, then you can apply this transformation. Then the transformed Hamiltonian is still local and has a discrete symmetry. So broken symmetry phase and the unbroken symmetry phase can be distinguished.
D2 symmetry is enough to show that H-terminal is nil?
Yeah. Not obvious. Yeah, I didn't really explain, but I can see. Well, that's not obvious, but maybe I should have discussed some example. So basically that means that you need SZ times SZ, SX times SX, or SY times SY. So if you have a coupling like SX, SZ, then this transformation doesn't work. The non-local string part remains.
What about multi-spin terms, four-spin terms, or six-spin terms?
So it works as long as you have SX, SX, SZ, SZ, or something like that. Then, so the bottom line is that if Hamiltonian is invariant under pi rotation about x, y, and z axis, then basically those pi rotations flip sx, sy to minus sx, minus sy, or other combinations. Then this works.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, you exclude longer range interaction, longer range exchange, because you can get an update phase with longer range exchange as well, provided they are small.
All right, so if some 1 over r square or something, perhaps this is, I'm restricting to, my point is that if you break the symmetry, then this transformation gives you highly non-local interaction that does not decay with distance. Then, we are probably in trouble. Right. So I agree that I'm not really covering every possibility, but some sufficient condition. Okay, so I just introduced one symmetry which protects Hodden phase as a distinct topological phase. But there are other symmetries too. And another symmetry is actually time reversal symmetry. And the I can give a hand waving argument why it works. So if you start from AKT Hamiltonian, then as I showed, AKT model has spin 1/2 edge state. Then, of course, the generic model is different from AKT model. So in order to study, discuss generic model, I want to part off AKT model by some perturbation. Then if you introduce very generic perturbation, then the degeneracy due to edge state would be lifted, because in very general term, degenerate states, degeneracy would be lifted by some perturbation. That's very generic statement. But my statement is that if the perturbation still keeps time reversal symmetry, then this degeneracy cannot be lifted, because the degeneracy due to spin 1/2 edge state can be understood as Kramers degeneracy. Then Kramers degeneracy cannot be lifted by time reversal invariant perturbations. So that means that this Hodden phase existence of edge state can be also protected by time reversal symmetry, even if you lose this D2 symmetry. And this argument actually is analogous to stability of edge state argument in topological insulator. Okay, so I introduced two of symmetries. Then actually there is yet another one, that is inversion symmetry, or parity symmetry. And I think that was first pointed out by this paper by Gu and Wen. For example, they introduced a model with this D term, but now they introduced the magnetic field in X direction. Then basically this Hamiltonian actually kills both time reversal. Time reversal is lost because of this magnetic field. And this Hamiltonian also lacks D2 symmetry, dihedral group symmetry, because this is already not invariant under rotation about XY Z axis. So the previous two arguments do not work for this model, but still they found Hodden phase as a distinct phase for this Hamiltonian. That is, this is, for example, the phase diagram numerically you can obtain. So this is the magnetic field in X direction, and this is an anisotropy term D. Then there is a Hodden phase region which is separated from other phases by some sharp phase transition. So this existence of phase transition means that this Hodden phase is a distinct quantum phase. We may ask why this is distinct phase. And the answer is that this Hodden phase in this model is still protected by lattice inversion symmetry. That is, x goes to minus x. J goes to minus j. So this model still has inversion symmetry. And again, I'm giving a non-rigorous but hand-waving argument why how inversion symmetry protects the Hodden phase as a topological phase. So again, it's easier to understand in terms of AKT state. So this is again spin 1 AKT state constructed out of spin 1 halves. Then we have valence bonds and then symmetrization operations. And now I want to invert this state with respect to this yellow vertical line. So I just flip the system and the wave function. Then in this construction, so this symmetrization is invariant under flip. So basically we can focus on how singlet wave functions of spin 1/2 are transformed under this inversion. Then, so there is one valence bond which crosses this reflection line. And if you do this inversion, then you exchange these two spin 1/2. Then because this is these two spin 1/2 form singlet. And as you know, if you flip singlet wave function, then you get minus sign. So from here, you get minus sign. Then of course there are other singlet bonds, and if you flip this one, this goes here, and also you get minus sign. But when this singlet bond goes here, this bond goes here, and both get minus sign. So those minus signs are canceled. So yeah, of course this argument is very hand waving, and you need really to be careful about boundary condition and so on. But if I forget about those subtleties, then roughly I can say that the minus sign due to this singlet flip survives, but all other signs canceled out. So so as a result, coordinate. So all spin one half. Maybe wrong slide, but yeah. But I just wanted to say yeah. So this is just AK spin one AK this data. These are just coordinate. So that means that the spin one AKT state is essentially odd under inversion, so parity odd state in a sense. And as before, this AKT model is a very special model, and the generic model is different from AKT. So I want to perturb AKT model to bring the Hamiltonian to more generic Hamiltonian or realistic Hamiltonian or whatever. But the point is that as long as the perturbation still respects inversion symmetry, then the parity eigenvalue cannot change. So if you start from parity odd state, then the wave function stay parity odd, unless there is quantum phase transition where the gap closes. On the other hand, if you consider trivial state like largely 0000 state, those trivial states are just a direct product of local state. Then for this kind of state, if you apply inversion, this state does not change. There is no sign. So this trivial state is always parity even under inversion. So there must be, so they belong to different sector. So for ground state to change from this state to this state, there must be some phase transition, as long as your Hamiltonian respects the parity or inversion symmetry. So that means that the Holden phase, spin one Holden phase, is protected also by space inversion. And actually, precisely speaking, this inversion symmetry about the bond center, so you have to invert about the middle of the bond. So even if you have so-called site inversion, Hamiltonian, even if the Hamiltonian is invariant under reflection about a particular site, it does not protect Holden gap phase. So you need the inversion symmetry about the bond. So in that way, we found that there are three symmetries which protect Holden gap phase as a distinct topological phase. And actually any one of them works. So you, of course, if you study a standard Heisman chain or AKT model, then they have all the three symmetries. But you can break two of them, but still it's protected. And I mean protected in the sense that you can certainly go to trivial phase, but you must cross phase transition to go to trivial phase, that statement. Okay. So then I want to discuss higher spin case. So because this may be a natural question, because the original Holden's conjecture is about the distinction between integer spin and half integer spin. So it's natural to ask what happens for spin 2, 3, 4, whatever. Then what we knew already in 92 was that this hidden symmetry argument can be at least formally extended to any integer. So this non-local unitary transformation can be applied to any integer spin. Then transformed Hamiltonian has this hidden Z2 cross Z2 symmetry, blah, blah, blah. That's the same. But the difference is that if you study AKT state for general integer spins, then the hidden symmetry actually is not broken for even integer spins. And the hidden symmetry is broken in odd integer spins. So there is some even odd effect. But at that time, we were not sure if these are really essential difference, or we thought like it may be possible that we are just missing some higher hidden symmetry or something. And if we find appropriate symmetry, the spin 2 AKT state also breaks some hidden symmetry or something. That I thought was the possibility at that time. So yeah, so the question is that, for example, if you consider spin 2 AKT state, which is presumably connected smoothly to spin 2 Heisenberg chain, which is also non-trivial question, but anyway, so this spin 2 AKT state is a legitimate wave function for spin 2, and this looks very non-trivial, certainly, but in terms of hidden Z2 cross Z2 symmetry, it's unbroken in this state. So the question is that, is this state really indistinguishable from trivial state in spin 2? Or is there any hidden other hidden symmetry we just didn't know that distinguishes this state from trivial state? That was a question back in 92. And the answer we found many years later is that actually this is essentially trivial state. Connected to trivial state without any phase range. There are so I introduced several Hund-Weibull arguments to distinguish spin one Hodden phase from trivial state, and so if we look back the edge state argument, edge state of spin one Hodden phase or spin one AKT state is protected. Because of Cramer's degeneracy. But if you consider spin 2 AKT state, it does have edge state. Edge state has spin 1. So there are degenerate edge state, but by very generic perturbation, you can lift this spin 1 edge state. So in that sense, this edge state for spin 2 AKT state or spin 2 Hodden state is not protected by time reversal. And yeah. I wanted to say that so for even for spin one edge state, you might think that there is a, if as long as you keep SU2 symmetry, there must be threefold degeneracy because spin one edge state has triplet state, and there is a triplet degeneracy. That's true, but in the absence of Cramer's degeneracy, it can happen that just at the edge you have triplet edge state, but there can be some singlet sector higher in the energy. And without any phase transition in the bulk, it can be possible that by changing some parameter, this singlet sector at the edge comes down. And if you have level crossing, then after this level crossing, there is no ground state degeneracy due to edge. So the spin one edge state can just disappear. But if you have a Cramer's mechanism, then every level must be doubly degenerate. So it cannot be killed as long as you have time reversal invariance. And also, I discussed how inversion symmetry protects the spin one Hodden phase, because spin one Hodden phase is basically parity odd state, which is distinguishable from even parity state. And that also does not distinguish spin 2 AKT state, because if you try to apply the same argument, now you flip two singlets here. So so this spin 2 AKT state is still parity even. So this is indistinguishable from trivial state. And more generally speaking, if you have even number of balance bonds or singlet bonds between neighboring sites, then or neighboring site, or if you have even number of singlet bonds crossing this line, then this is intrinsic parity is even. Then you cannot distinguish this state from trivial state. So I quickly debut how all the arguments I presented for spin 1 Hodden phase does not work for spin 2 in the sense that none of the three symmetries actually protects the Hodden phase as a distinct topological phase for spin 2. But of course, this is not yet the proof that the spin 2 Hodden state can be connected smoothly to trivial state, because as we discussed, I just gave a sufficient condition. So there can be some structure which we are not yet aware of. But actually, the answer is that answer we found was that the spin 2 Hodden state is actually adiabatically connected to a trivial state. And one proof we have is that actually we have an explicit construction of one parameter family of matrix product ground state connecting this spin 2 AKLT state and the trivial state. And there is some general proof that for this family of matrix product state, there exists some local Hamiltonian which has this state as a ground state, and there is no phase transition, blah, blah, blah. But this Hamiltonian is very, very complicated, and I don't even want to write down. And I have never written down the Hamiltonian. There is existence proof, but. So yeah, there is example, well, at least one example, but maybe not very nice example, but okay. But recently there is some new development which I want to introduce quickly. So if I generalize this spin 2 Hamiltonian, Heisenberg chain, introducing this anisotropy and also XXZ anisotropy, then back in 92, I made some conjecture that basically by increasing this D term, we may enter some different phase before going into a trivial large D phase where all spins are zero, all SDs are zero. So the argument was like, so if D is zero, the ground state would be represented by this spin 2 AKLT state, which is standard. But if you increase this D, then you penalize SD equals to plus or minus 2. Then I guess maybe this kind of state may be relevant. This is a spin 2 state, but you choose up spin 1 half, down spin 1 half. So this is basically like spin 1 AKLT state by killing some degree of freedom. Then this state actually is topological phase in the present day terminology. So in this state, string order parameter is non-zero. So hidden Z2 cross Z2 symmetry is broken here, and it's unbroken here. So this state is really distinct from this. So I guess maybe we first enter this phase where string order is non-zero, then to trivial phase or something like that, but without any serious calculation. And of course, I was wrong. And there was a DMRG calculation by Uri Showeck and collaborators. And they checked the phase diagram numerically by DMRG. And what they found was that, this Hodden phase with a gap is rather narrow. And now there is an extended region of so-called XY phase where the system is gapless. And so this is not, this is basically quite different from what I guessed at that time. But of course, numerical determination of phase diagram is a bit tricky. I forgot. So this is also gapless phase, but I think this is a phase where SXSX correlation decays exponentially, but SX square SX square correlation decays power law or something like that. Very recently, actually, this preprint appeared maybe today or yesterday or something like that by my colleague in Japan. I gave a talk somewhere about this Hodden phase business somewhere in Japan, and he was attending, and he got interested in, again, in the phase diagram of spin 2.
So he knew you were going to talk today, so.
yeah, Yeah, so yeah, I'm advertising on behalf of them. So they actually they studied this system using exact diagonalization of small system up to 12 or 14 spins, which sounds very small for spin two system, which is of course true. But they combined this this exact diagonalization with so-called level spectroscopy method, which is basically a finite size scaling using CFD information. So this can be very precise even for very small system. Anyway, what they found is that actually, largely their phase diagram is consistent with what Shovek and company found using DMRG. That is, there is an extended region of XY gapless phase, and this Hoden gap region is very, very narrow, which they found with this method. But they found two interesting features. That is, actually, there is a very small region of this intermediate deep phase where this there's topological structure where string order parameter should be non-zero, although they did not directly study string order parameter. So the enlargement of this part is like this, so very narrow, but they seem pretty confident with the result. Anyway, so there is a very narrow region of this intermediate phase. And also interesting feature is that actually according to their calculation, this Hoden gap region is actually connected to trivial phase without crossing any phase transition around here. So this is actually consistent with what we found. So this actually may be more nice example demonstrating triviality of spin two Hoden phase. That is, spin two Hoden phase is essentially indistinguishable from trivial state. And maybe many of you are not familiar with this level spectroscopy, so I just say a few words. So as I said, this is a combination of exact diagonalization and finite size scaling of conformal field theory plus perturbation. So for example, they studied first this model, spin one half Heisenberg chain with next nearest neighbor interaction. And it's known that for small alpha, the system is in fluid phase or Lattinger liquid phase. But for larger alpha, the system enters a spontaneously dimerized phase. And this transition is so-called Kosterlitz Sauerless type. So if you apply usual numerical method, then it's very hard to determine the transition point precisely because KT transition is very hard. You have low correction and the correlation length diverges. It's rather difficult. But if you combine conformal field theory plus perturbation, then you can argue that there are ground state and excited states, and you can find that the transition point that correspond to free boson conformal field theory without any perturbation corresponds to a crossing point of two different kind of excitation. Because at this point, interaction term vanishes. And if you go away from transition point, then you have perturbation, which lifts the divergency of excited levels. So you can identify transition point by this crossing of energy levels. And then you can use finite size data to determine this crossing point to estimate the transition point. And with this, they can do it pretty precisely. And the transition point for this model is estimated to be 0.2411 or something. But their point is that even for, so of course, this still needs to be extrapolated in terms of system size. But the size dependence of this crossing point is quite weak. And they found that even for system of four spins, of course, which sounds too small, the crossing point is already 0.25, which is not too bad. But anyway, I'm not actually totally sure if their system size is enough to conclude this phase diagram for spin two, but they did confirm that in numerical data, the system looks basically gapless. So they say these phases are gapped phases, but the gap is so small that in 12 or 14 sites, the system looks like certainly gapless. But the central charge of this apparent gapless phase is C equals 1 according to their numerical data. That means that this method can be justified, maybe. Anyway, it would be interesting to check this by other methods.
How do you track the central charge?
By, I think, finite size scaling of ground state energy. Not by crossing, but the usual CFT finite. Okay, so I ran out of time already, but let me say just a few words about entanglement. So I introduced three different symmetries which protects Hodden phase, and there are three different mechanisms for each symmetry. But then we want to ask if there is a universal feature for the Hodden phase unifying all these symmetries. And the answer is in entanglement, because we often hear about entanglement entropy to quantify entanglement. But as many of you should know, okay, there is something called entanglement spectrum that is for given state. Basically, you can choose appropriate basis in region A and region B to represent the original state as a superposition in this way. And this coefficient, lambda j, is called entanglement spectrum. And if you know the entanglement spectrum, of course, you can compute entanglement entropy like this. But of course, entanglement spectrum has more information than just entropy, which is just a single number. And our result is that this entanglement spectrum actually encodes the information about the Hodden phase. And this guy, I'm just saying the result. That so this is so if you're given ground state, you can decompose like this, so-called Schmidt decomposition. Then the statement is that in the Hodden phase, in odd spin, in this topological phase, the statement is that this entanglement spectrum is exactly doubly degenerate in entire spectrum. That means if you order this coefficient from larger to smaller, then lambda 1 is exactly equal to lambda 2, and lambda 3 is lambda 4, and lambda 5 is equal to lambda 6, and so on, so on. So entire spectrum is doubly degenerate. And this degeneracy is protected by any one of three symmetries I listed. And of course, it's not so trivial to demonstrate why this degeneracy follows. But I again give you one very hand-waving argument for the case of inversion symmetry. So if inversion symmetry exists, then I argue that the Hodden phase can be characterized by odd parity eigenvalue with respect to inversion. Then, roughly speaking, because this state must be odd under inversion about this cut which separates system to A region and B region, then the Schmidt decomposition must be written like this. So if you have some combination of A state and B state, then there must be a pair of state, which is obtained by flipping this, because this state is parity odd under inversion. Then actually there are two states with the same coefficient. Sign is different, but the entanglement spectrum is defined so that you flip the basis so that all coefficients are non-negative. So this actually means that you have eigenvalue lambda for this state and minus lambda for this state. And if you rearrange the sign, then you find the two-fold degeneracy between this state and this state. So odd parity does imply the exact two-fold degeneracy in the entire entanglement spectrum. And for other symmetries, we can do the same. And so we discussed three symmetries. And string order actually only works when this global D2 symmetry is present. And the edge state only works when diesel symmetry or time reversal is present, but the degeneracy in the entanglement spectrum is there for any one of these symmetry when the system in the non-trivial topological Hodden phase. So degeneracy is so far the most universal characteristic of Hodden phase. So to summarize, when you have odd number of valence bond, or most simple example is odd spin Hodden phase, but it can be more generalized. Then there are three symmetries, with each of the symmetry protects some particular feature of Hodden phase, like a hidden Z to cross Z to symmetry breaking or string order, or edge state, or odd parity with respect to inversion of system. And these kind of protect the Hodden phase as a distinct topological phase. And in all cases, actually, there is a unifying feature that there is a double degeneracy throughout the entire entanglement spectrum. So thank you for your attention.
So the double degeneracy of the entanglement spectrum, is that does that exist even if you start with periodic boundary conditions and sort of composition that way?
Yeah. So I guess the precise statement is for infinite system. If you have infinite system, if you cut at one particular place, then this entanglement spectrum must be double degenerate. But for finite system, I guess it's asymptotically degenerate in large system size or something. Yeah, actually, I did not check the entanglement spectrum for finite size system by myself. But I think for finite size system, there would be, I guess, some. Oh, yeah, for periodic boundary condition. Yes, although there are some special cases in which I guess. Exact double degeneracy exists only, even for finite size system. For example, if you consider a system with periodic boundary condition consisting of odd number of spins, then this parity argument can be applied actually exactly to odd numbered ring. Yeah. In that case, I think the spectrum must be double degenerate.
So what happens in the two-dimensional AQLT mode?
Yeah, good question. Short answer is that I have not thought about that seriously. But,
But you also have this kind of modes at the boundary, no? So you have some kind of extensive edge.
But if we don't have translational symmetry, they can dimerize on the edge. In that case,
is there some topological
if you apply this translational symmetry and parity symmetry, I think you can call it a symmetry.
So you need translation symmetry in addition to this. It's kind of similar to this parity protected topology
things
discussed by Ackman last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not here.
Translational symmetry plus parity or plus D2 or plus time reversal. Then it's sufficient. There's always phase translation between two relative
two. So in 2D, it's the translation symmetry in every direction or?
In every direction.
Mm-hmm. That's necessary.
So when you talk about this level crossing spectroscopy, and exactly imagine the motivation for them was that this was a KT transition. So it's but there are other methods of. I mean, if I have the MRG, I can in principle look for this fidelity. Not how do you call it? Sensitivity of fidelity is called. Mm-hmm. Okay, you make change of state with a small parameter and you cross sensitivity. Typically, also doesn't work for
KT. Well, I'm not qualified to answer that question. Maybe somebody knows. Anybody doing fidelity calculation? Does it work for KT?
There are no rules.
Yeah, sorry, I yeah.
But there are no rules.
Yeah.
So you can
try
to calculate the fidelity of the system.
Yeah.
But there are no rules.
confusion with the next question.
So is there some field theoretical expression this function between say odd and even like for the Laplacian insulator you have some E dot B term which you can write some F mu nu.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, actually, I don't know the answer. One question I have been having for a long time is that so Holden started this using nonlinear sigma model, topological term. Then using that formulation, I cannot see this difference.
Yeah. If you have high symmetry, like you want symmetry in the model, you can always define this TQFT. You can have some Western weight.
Yeah, basically I have the same question, but no, don't have answer.
Last question.
That might be a related question, but the edge states in topological Haldane state and trivial Haldane state, will, if I count them in terms of Majoranus, will have different parity of Majoranus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spin half,
mm-hmm.
I can think of as three Majoranus fermions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for spin two state, I'll have spin one, which is even number of Majoranus fermions. And so can I make, try to think in these terms? That topologically protected Haldane phase is one which corresponds to odd number of Majoranus.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Although that argument works in the presence of, I think in presence of time reversal. But if you break time reversal and keep inversion symmetry, then I think that argument does not work, but still Haldane phase exists as a distinct way, so probably it's not completely general, but it works in some case. That's my answer.
In the Majorana case, then we have all the Majorana fermions as kind of half degree.
Yes.
So in the spin model, it's always full degree. There's no half degree actually, because if you think about Majorana fermion, two Majorana fermions form this one single degree of in the spin model.
So I can think of variants, two of them locally, but not certain.
Right, thanks.